You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of podcast networks.
Just recovering, recovering from the road, Jones. Brother. Yeah, man. Long weekend, good weekend. I'm back. No head boo boos. So
thank God.
We're good.
Good.
Good dog. How you doing?
Good. Good. How many cookouts did you get?
Just one. And just they one? Messed up. In true cookout spirit, they messed up my order. So
It's
like half.
How did they mess up your order?
I got the barbecue sandwich supposed to be plain, and they ended up putting some kind of junk on it. And to quote our friend Derek, it's already in the meat.
It's already in the meat.
It was all up in the meat. There was no saving the sandwich. So no hot barbecue sandwich, but the fries and the chicken nuggets were worth the wait and worth the trip.
Nice. Beautiful, beautiful. You didn't get a milkshake, did you?
Not a milkshake guy from Cookout, actually.
No?
Just give me the huge, huge tea. That's all I need.
The huge tea is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's dessert enough for me.
That's fair enough. But how were the matches?
Matches were good, man. You know, that's not great match guy. Good match guy.
Yeah.
Good. It's good. I think it's good. Making and, people feel something.
We jump right into the middle of or right into the thick of it. Mike Chioda, eh?
Yeah, he was cool. Super cool.
So, main event Jones reffed by Mike Chioda.
Yeah, super cool. He told Mr. Pig that Mr. Pig just needs to start like really laying it in.
Okay.
Straight up hurting people.
Oh no.
he said, Mr. Pig, you're so big. What's anybody gonna do about it?
Exactly, so I can do whatever I want. And if I don't want to hurt you, that's perfect. Because I don't want to get hurt.
No, he said, Mr. Pig, you're so big. What's anybody going to do about it? And, hey, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, he's right. it's like that security guard on The Last Dance who beats MJ into the coin throw. The shrug. Just shrugging on him. Oh my God. Like, that is a top five GIF of all time. Like, off the top of your head right now, like, what are your five favorite GIFs to you?
The Popeyes kid.
Okay. Explain to Popeyes kid. I know what you're
he's
talking
kid
about.
Holding the, he's holding the cup and he just looks at the camera and stares. It looks away and then stares back at the camera.
You know, I love that one. You know he's a D1 NIL guy with Popeyes?
Yes. It's the best usage of NIL.
Yes.
My other favorite GIF is Oprah when she's in the purple and then she's looking away and then she looks at the camera and she just shrugs. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I was right.
Right.
I like to use that one a lot. Oh man. What's another the security guard with the shoulder shrug.
Yes.
And then I have a really good one, which is my last two ones are reserved for rare occasions. It's I don't know what cartoon it's from, but it's a dog with his little feet kicked up on a table, smoking a cigar. And when he blows the smoke, it's dollar signs.
Yep.
I love that one. And then my other one, which is usually what I'm trying to stray away from temptation. It's the cowardly lion running down the hallway and jumping through the glass at first.
That is the one I was going to mention to yours because I thought you were going to bring it up. But I swear, I see you posting that cowardly lion hauling cheeks through Oz, like just out of the nothing. Oh man, so good, so good.
Yeah, what's your some of your favorites?
I love anything Cody lip bite.
Okay.
Just real mad. God, what other coat? Which other? Not Cody, but I feel like I have to go into like a text.
Do you like the Cody ear cup?
Sometimes. Not all the time. But trying to see what else for sure. The little girl with the pigtails and the pink jacket at the table, she's just like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the I don't know girl. Yeah.
I don't know girl. She's like high up on the list for me. For sure, like Cody Lip Bite is up there. Gosh, what else? I feel like some places have, let me go here, frequently used. Boy, that is a lot of Cody. That is a lot of Cody. Also, the MJ security guard, like, shrug is really good. I like the Alfred, I'm sorry I failed you.
That's good.
Crying gif. And then, oh, that's the one. The No Way Out rock eye roll. It was like, yeah, eye bugging. Those are solid for me. But we're not necessarily here to talk about gifs. So gifts. we worked ourselves. Well, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. I just know that the answer is GIF.
If you want to be wrong, correct.
Oh my God. This is the last time I'll say this. The person who created the file type of what it is named it GIF.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
Doesn't matter. It's his kid.
It's GIF.
It's GIF.
What's he gonna do about it? It's GIF.
Respect. And I'm gonna continue the legacy. It's GIF.
You're wrong, Bobby.
Okay, so if your parents named you Marcus, but they called you Marquis, and then your parents die.
But what part of my name would Quis ever? There's no letters that could double in that.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying it's a bad analogy. It doesn't exist.
I'm saying that if your name was pronounced one way, here, okay, fine. City in Saskatchewan, or in Saskatchewan, is Regina.
Okay.
Regina.
Okay.
But everybody else says Regina.
Okay.
Is it Regina or is it Regina?
Probably Regina. I don't know.
Okay. Why is it called Regina? Why isn't it not Regina?
I don't know.
Maybe because the person who named it Regina. Just like the person who made the GIF is GIF.
Yeah, but it's GIF, so.
It's GIF, man.
But it's not.
It is.
I mean, it can be, but it's also GIF. It can be GIF, sure.
This is one of those situations where the English language gets changed in such a way that, like, literally also becomes figuratively. Where, like, a definition for literally is figuratively, but it's not the same. But people use literally as figuratively all the time, and they're wrong.
They are.
You're gonna make me quit the podcast right now. Like, I don't even want to talk about CM Punk anymore. Short show, guys. We did it. It's all over.
Go get some Italian ice.
It is Italian ice.
It is Italian ice season.
It is Italian ice season.
I've already had like five.
Oh my goodness.
Big cotton candy year.
Big cotton candy year?
Yeah.
Do you do the gelati or you just do straight ice?
Straight ice. Try the gelati. It's all right. I was just like, you know what? You know what I wish I had more of in this? Ice.
What flavor of custard did you get?
I can't remember.
Vanilla with cotton candy is really good.
Okay, I can see that.
Same with root beer. Root beer with vanilla is really good.
I think I had root beer with chocolate because I like root beer and chocolate together.
Okay. That's dope. My favorite flavor is juicy pear.
You're a juicy pear guy.
I am a juicy pear.
Somebody's keeping the juicy pears in business.
That's right. I'll never forgive myself for the most racist thing I ever said to you at a Rita's.
Oh my gosh, please don't say that.
I will text it to you if you ask.
I remember it. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know you remember.
I know. I remember.
And it was funny.
It was good.
It was good. It was also a sign of the time. But never again. Never again. Can't go back All-Star right there.
You were Tim Monster Marcus?
Yes. And we worked ourselves into a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did. We were talking about it, and many people hit us up and was like, yo, you got to do Summer of Phil. And so we've backed ourselves into a corner. We've got 4 weeks. Do we have 4 weeks or is it more?
We got 4 weeks.
Yeah, we got 4 weeks. 4 weeks. 4 weeks of Phil. Four summers of Phil. Where we'll talk about the first AEW Summer of Phil. We'll talk about the second AEW Summer of Phil. We'll talk about the WWE Summer of Phil. But to start it off, we're going to talk about the original Summer of Punk. But in order for us to get there, we have to go back to how we found out about Ring of Honor, how we came to appreciate CM Punk and all that there was. And our voyage for Ring of Honor, very different than that of like Joe. We were not in the thick of it. But we were in the thick of it. We played a lot of catch up.
Yeah, we did. Real fast.
We did. Real fast. I was a habitual purchaser of the five DVDs for $30 deal on ROHWrestling.com.
Yeah, did you ever share how you got into the ROH? Because I feel like that might be an interesting story.
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, I think you told me that you were at like a Best Buy buying WWE DVDs.
Yes.
And the dude was like, hey, check this out.
Right. And it was, I think that it was at the Best Buy that I think that the era of Honor Begins had a like DVD release. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember not purchasing it from ROH Wrestling.
Yeah,
because it had like a weird, it had like a weird different cover. And I ended up having to like print off the original Era of Honor Begins like cover just mm-hmm. for like my own stupid purchasing like completionistic view. And now I don't have any of those DVD cases. I put all my ROH DVDs into a binder. I have all of 2002, 2003, and I think almost all of 2004 on DVD, which is awesome. But also, my God, how much money did I spend?
And you have the majority of like 05 and 06. Right?
I do. It really yeah. falls off once like we get into like the HD net stuff.
Yeah.
But all this time period we're following big, and like I was a big Samoa Joe guy in Ring of Honor. I still
we're still talking Gabe. About like Murphy Wreck days. Like yeah, early like, punk, yeah. Or
yeah, Murphy Samoa Wreck Joe. Days, the Armory.
Mm-hmm.
What other big ROH buildings were there? There was the Field House,
the building in New York for the first anniversary show.
What was that? Was that
the Elks Lodge?
Yes, the Elks Lodge, but I don't feel like that ran too much. Like
I don't think so, but in my head they did, but I don't think they did.
Right, because in my head there's the Murphy Wreck, there's that building in Massachusetts, the Civic Center where Jay and Mark fought for the first time.
Yeah,
the 1 year anniversary show was at the Elks Lodge. And then they ran in Elizabeth.
Yeah, yep.
Yep. So it's like they ran Elizabeth, New Jersey. They ran Dayton, Ohio. And eventually they get their way up into like Chicago Ridge for ROH. And before then, like, of course, CM Punk makes his debut for Ring of Honor at, I believe it is All-Star Extravaganza in, I believe that is...
I believe that was at the Murphy Rec.
It's at the Murphy Rec. I believe this is September of 02, where he's in a number one contendership match, in a gauntlet match with Michael Shane, The Amazing Red, Paul London, and American Dragon, Brian Danielson.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the angle? Didn't they do an angle with, like, Punk and Cabana, like, driving in and doing a promo in the ring first?
Or am I feel like that is correct. Because, like,
okay.
Because after All-Star Extravaganza and the cards afterwards, like, because CM Punk is not necessarily on all of these Ring of Honor shows once he gets here.
Because I thought they had, like, a match or something where, like, whoever won was going to be, like, a regular.
Well, they had multiple matches. So they wrestled at Night of the Butcher, which is the little, like, next card up.
Okay.
All-Star Extravaganza was actually in November of 02. Then Punk and Cabana fought at Night of the Butcher, and then they fought again at Final Battle. And I think the match in Final Battle was who is going to be the regular of the Chicago car, so
slash to speak. Who gets the transportation money put in their envelope.
Correct. Correct. But Punk and, after Punk and Cabana do their little thing, that's when we start to get the influences of Raven. In 03, we got the Raven's Rules match. Mm-hmm. You got the dog collar match, and you've got all the stuff in between. So, like, not necessarily going through the history of it all, but, what are your first remembrances of CM Punk when you first saw him in Ring of Honor?
So I think the first time I saw him in Ring of Honor was actually in a wrestling magazine at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember which magazine it was. I remember they had a picture of this dude, like in basketball shorts with like logos or whatever, all up on him, and he had like a microphone in his hand, and in my head they're talking about the Ricky Steamboat feud, but I feel like I knew of him before the feud with Steamboat, so maybe it was Raven and my brain is doing tricks to make it Ricky Steamboat or something. But early on, so like right around like 03, I was like, all right, this dude seems cool. I don't know a ton about like the independents, but like, this dude seems cool. And then you got into Ring of Honor. I got into Ring of Honor with you. And yeah, once like Punk is there, it felt like playing catch up, like going through all the matches that you just listed, going through the Raven feud, the Steamboat feud. Those are like my early memories of CM Punk. And the Raven feud was fantastic. For some reason, the Ricky Steamboat feud was the one that like really, really, really made me a fan of CM Punk as far as like unsigned guys. Like he was my guy. He was my independent wrestling guy.
Yeah, the stuff with Ricky Steamboat was beginning of 04.
Yeah, early 04.
Him versus AJ Styles at Our Best, and then Reborn Stage 1 versus Brian Danielson, which I think ends up leading to, you know, the Second City Saints tag team stuff. They had been a team for a while, but they hadn't broken into the tag title picture until after the Ricky Steamboat angle. And we get into probably my favorite era, or my favorite of anything in Ring of Honor. I loved the round robin challenge.
Oh, okay.
I loved round robin challenge. And that's where we get to Death Before Dishonor 2, which is the second round robin challenge, but it's tag teams. And we've got the Saints, the Briscoes, and the Prophecy of BJ Whitmer and Dan Moff. Were you a more of a Punk guy or a Cabana guy?
Oh man.
Cause I feel like we switched a lot.
We did. Yeah. Cause I know there was a time, like, I really liked, like what Cabana was doing a whole lot. So yeah, it probably wavered like 51-49 back and forth a lot. Like I just like both of them. Love the Second City Saints. You got Ace Steel in there. I liked everything about him, man. Just like three dudes just kind of coexisting. It's like different personalities, but they all seem to get along, whether it's, you know, just because they're from Chicago or whatever. Like, something was relatable about that to me. Was I more of a Punk guy, Cabana guy? Yeah, there's definitely stretches where I was more of a Cabana guy than a Punk guy. And that,
because I know there was the big thing, and it's not even that big, but it's like it really came down to like Pepsi versus Coke.
Because
it's like you loved Punk, but you hate Pepsi.
Correct.
And like I love Colt, but I hate Coke.
Yeah.
And it's like we just couldn't, like, in our minds get over the fact that, like, we couldn't just, like, settle in the middle and, like, you know what, it's okay. Because I loved Comedy Cabana stuff.
Yeah.
I've always loved Cabana's comedy stuff. But also too, like, I loved the feud with Homicide.
Yeah. That's the first feud after Punk.
Dishes
is gone.
Cabana. Dishes.
Dishes, yeah.
We're talking about Dishes Cabana. And so to me, Punk was, I wouldn't say lesser than, but to me, like, I was more interested in like what Cabana was doing, and by proxy that kept me in tune with Punk. Especially since, you know, after Punk, or after like the Second City Saints tag title run, we get into the Joe trilogy. And I'm not picking CM Punk over Samoa Joe. Not then, not ever.
Oh, but I was.
I know you were. I was so deep in the Samoa Joe lore. I loved everything about it. Joe Punk, I personally love all three of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Punk 2 actually takes place on my birthday.
For that?
Which is pretty sweet, so I'll never forget that match. But what did you think about the Joe Punk trilogy, the 2-hour-long matches, and then finally the 45-minute finale?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I liked the story of, like, Punk trying to get Samoa Joe to go deep into a match. Because the ROH title always had the 1 hour time limit, if I'm not mistaken. And Samoa Joe is like so dominant. Like, he's not sniffing an hour. He's not sniffing 45 minutes. He's not really sniffing 30 minutes. And Punk's whole strategy was like, get him past the 30 minute mark. And I just like, I really got into that, even though now I would like, never really want to watch a match that long. But for the time when, like, we're getting still, like, really short TV matches and we're really not getting, like, great wrestling matches on TV, having this like in Ring of Honor, it was like a breath of fresh air. And I just like different styles, two different body types, two different characters. And it helped that like Samoa Joe was your guy and CM Punk was my guy. And them going an hour, like, okay, cool. That's, you know, somebody got Joe to an hour. Of course, Joe gets to retain. But then like the second one, the fact that they went another hour the second time, to me, like, I bought that hook, line, and sinker. Like, I did not see that coming a second time on the draw.
Right. And then we get to that third match, which I believe is another All-Star Extravaganza. And there was World Title Classic. Then there was Joe Punk 2 in October. Right after ROH Gold. And then World Title All-Star Extravaganza 2. They actually go 30 minutes, not 45 or an hour. But I remember seeing, like, watching that match and just like getting in my seat. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Here's another hour. Let's ride. And then the end happens. And I'm like, oh man. Okay. Joe wins. Sweet. Now I'm pissed at what happens next. At like literally the next show.
Is the next show the Austin Aries?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You could have told me there is another year in between
CM Punk
that.
Where CM Punk wears down Joe, and then Final Battle 2004.
Oh wow!
Austin Aries catches Joe sleeping.
I never put the timelines together, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now yeah, I hate the Austin Aries win even more.
Yeah, because world title class. Yeah. Austin Aries beats Samoa Joe in 17 minutes. Cage Match has this at 8.73, Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe.
Did you hear that Cage Match is like fixing the scoring system or whatever?
Sorry. Hold on. We got to talk about this. Because this is... this is definitely something that is on the ratings fix. This is definitely something that is what's the word I'm looking for? A We Need Wrestling thing.
Oh, okay. I don't want
to encroach. Well, no, because We Need Wrestling used to do the watch lists, and they would base it off of the cage match score, not because it's right, but because it's easy. And so lately, in order to get the rampant tribalism and reactionism after wrestling events under somewhat of a control, the following rule is now in effect in a public beta stage. Ratings for events and matches are now possible at the earliest at noon of the following day. So you cannot rate a show or rate a match until noon the following day. Because what it was is people were going on as soon as the matches happened, and like the AEW homers are boosting AEW matches, and the WWE homers are low rating those same matches. And it just... it's all a public mess, right?
This feels like towards the end of Dark Knight. So you think that putting a time restriction on these stands is the right plan? Good luck.
Good luck.
I don't know if that's going to help. Why would you want people to not come to your website? That's what I don't understand.
Excellent question.
Hey, maybe they're not in it to make money.
Maybe. Who knows?
Couldn't be me.
So after Punk, he loses his opportunities at Joe.
There's that word again.
CM Punk gets caught into another feud. This time with Jimmy Rave.
Fable to the eyes.
Oh my God. CM Punk Jimmy Rave was so fun.
Phil was in his bag in this feud. I really like this. By far my favorite thing in ROH that Jimmy Rave did. Yeah, my favorite Embassy storyline. It's a really underrated Phil storyline. I love this. And the fact that Jimmy Rave kept beating him, like, that was so cool.
Right.
Because we weren't getting that. It was very much like, this is the top of the card. These guys always win. These are the guys in the middle. And like, ROH always had that card delineation split. And this like violated that. And I thought that was really neat.
Right.
Phil's chasing a win.
Right. Because Phil gets caught up with the Embassy in like 6-man matches. The Embassy versus a great team in Punk, Cabana, and Steve Corino. I loved that trio in Ring of Honor because that was when Corino was doing the super long intros that I marked for because I'm the demographic. That was me.
You did love that.
I did love that. But we got Jimmy Rave and Punk in the dog collar and then eventually in the steel cage to blow it off. I remember that cage match being really good.
So I don't remember the cage match. I just remember the dog collar match.
See, I remember the cage match because they did the superplex off the top of the cage.
Okay.
Because Ring of Honor doesn't have that many cage matches, in my knowledge, early in the run.
The only other two I can really think of that aren't like the scramble ones is Cabana and Aries.
Cabana and Aries were it's like, I think that's actually the first. That's the first defense for Aries, I think.
It's one of the first, yeah. It's really early.
And Aries does the dive to the outside for the win.
I hated that. I'm so mad.
Oh, yeah, because you were like, oh, my God, it's a Cabana.
He's going to do it. And then, of course, Jay Briscoe and Samoa Joe.
That might be like one of the that might be a top five cage match all time for me. It's just still sick. To like the clotting.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless Jay Briscoe. But that match was tough.
Dudes rock.
Dudes rock indeed. But Cabana or Punk finally gets past Jimmy Rave. And he's on the run up. And he ends up knocking off Roderick Strong, which gets him to Death Before Dishonor 3.
Oh, baby.
And of course, like, this is the time we're in the dirt sheets.
Oh yeah. We're covered in it.
We're just dripping from head to toe
in constantly just updating.
Oh my God. 411mania.com. Refresh, refresh. God bless Larry Zonka. Rest in peace. Like, that was our dude. Like, before we even knew who David Bixenspan was, before we even knew who Mike Johnson was, like, we were Larry Zonka boys.
Yeah.
And, like,
411 was the site.
411 was the site. And this was back in our, like, heyday of, like, internet wrestling.
Because you could get news and you could also get like really good show reviews too.
Right. You could get show reviews. You could get news. And they also had a bunch of editorial stuff too.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good. And they also did around this time period too. The writing staff of 411 Mania did a Wrestler of the Year compilation where like I think 12, 15 writers every week would like nominate their top 5 wrestlers from the week and they would tabulate it all together and like see how close they'd get to actually like picking the most influential wrestler of the year and they would go from mania to mania. And I know like Ric Flair won it one year. CM Punk won it a couple of years. Jericho won it during that God run. The No Country for Old Men Jericho. I think Cena won it once. Daniel Bryan won it once. But for us, like, we're in it. And the rumors walking into Death Before Dishonor 3 are CM Punk has a contract offer with World Wrestling Entertainment. And
at that time, offer meant he signed it.
Contract in hand.
Yeah.
He has it. And so I remember us watching this and thinking, like, okay, it's his final match. He's wrestling Austin Aries for the title. There's no way Punk's winning the title because he's leaving. Punk is or, up and bouncing.
We thought, does he win the title maybe? And then they do a tournament.
Right. Like, do they vacate the title and pass it up? And so June 18th, 2005, CM Punk beats Austin Aries. Thank God. Right the wrong.
R.I.P.
And we get, like, probably, would you say, like, pre-Pipe Bomb, this is, like, the most iconic CM Punk promo?
This is his, this is his Crazy in Love.
This is Legacy promo.
This, yeah, this is his, yeah. Yeah, this one.
Where, like, he has the ROH title and the WWE contract.
And the parable of the snake
and the old man that they run back on AEW, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks' time here. But you stupid old man, I'm a snake. And then we get the greatest thing the devil ever did was prove to the world or trick the world in believing he doesn't exist. And CM Punk turns heel on the entire Ring of Honor company. And he's like, I'm taking this title. And just like they did in Ring and ECW and every other major promotion that went up against WWE, I'm taking this title and I'm throwing it at the feet of Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. I'm gone. Goodbye. And Punk signs his WWE contract on the Ring of Honor title, which I thought was sick. Like, man, what a spit in the face.
And then there's a piece of business that I think gets forgotten about, which is Chris Daniels, who had, I think, just come back that show. Comes out and it, like, oh, snaps. They're going to do an immediate title switch.
Right.
But no, they don't. And Punk comes back in the next show. And that's where he's got, like, the title belt and he's in the suit.
Yes. And this is the tight. This is the theme switch. Because he's using
about that.
He's using Misery of Cantory all through this run. And it's when he signs his contract and flips over, that's when we get Cult of Personality. And everybody thinks that Cult of Personality has this super long run with Ring of Honor. It doesn't. It's literally, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows?
He doesn't use Cult of Personality at his last show, I don't think.
Right, I'm not counting that. I'm not even counting that. I'm not even counting 2 out of 3 falls with Cabana. But, like, his defense against Jay Lethal, his defense against Roddy Strong, his defense against Gibson, his defense against Daniels, and then the four-way, I think that because that was beautiful, too. Like, multiple people gunning for him for the title.
Right. That and also the way his defenses were set up, because, like, Jay Lethal coming out of Special K.
Mm-hmm.
And like that was like my next dude. And so for Lethal coming up and like him being Joe's young boy and like all that stuff, I was like, oh snaps, Jay Lethal's gonna win the belt. And he doesn't. And then it's Roddy Strong. And you think like, okay, well, Aries won the belt.
And Roddy's like the next guy up from right. Gen Now or Gen and, Next. You know,
Gen Next. And like Roddy's still like a bruiser. Okay, it can be like Roddy Strong. They're gonna go with like a different kind of champion than like what they've had. And it's not. And then who's the other defenses against? Gibson? James
Gibson.
I had no doubts about that one. It's like, all right, he's gonna keep cooking.
Right, but even then, like James Gibson, I'm trying to go through right now to see, is his match with James Gibson like the debut match for Gibson?
Doesn't he face Akio on one of those shows?
I'm trying to see. I know that he does, but I'm trying to see like where the James Gibson debut is. And it might be at, golly, just digging through all these old notes. James Gibson. People are like, literally people are just screaming at their phones right now. Just trying to get like ROH. James Gibson's first match, third anniversary against Spanky.
And then that's right.
Yep. And then he's in Best of the American Super Juniors. He's against Black, the great match against Black Tiger Mask.
Black Tiger Mask.
And then Aries and Gibson at the final showdown. But like James Gibson's on that like that indie run for him. And so he's crawling through and he hasn't won any matches for titles, even though he's faced Joe for the pure title. He faced Aries for the world title twice. He was in Best of the American Super Juniors. I believe he wins. No, he doesn't win Super Juniors. But it gets to Gibson chasing Punk, Samoa Joe chasing Punk, Chris Daniels chasing Punk, until eventually at Redemption, a four-way takes place, the four-way elimination match. And James Gibson wins the title off of Punk. And then we just get one last match from Phil before he runs away. And this is Punk, the final chapter. We get Night Train by Bouncing Souls. This is so good. But is there anything you can think of, like sticking true to like who we are and what we do here? Is there any like good place, bad place moments from the ROH season or ROH Summer of Punk that you can like look back to? Like, even if it means it's revisionist history and it's like stuff you wish would have happened and didn't, or if it's just stuff that you recall fondly and you think is like great. Like, obviously the title win is good place.
Yeah.
And the promo afterwards is good place. But like the title run itself, I think the title run is also good place because it has to fall into this like sweet spot, right? It can't be too long or else what's the point of signing your WWE contract, right?
Right.
It's like you have a WWE contract, so you're just staying in Ring of Honor. What's the point? But it can't be super short because then you're just like, you're chopping the legs out of, because everybody, the looming clock is like, the longer Punk has this title, the sooner WWE is going to say, hey, stop working Ring of Honor. you need to come home. And Punk is just going to drag the title with him, right?
And it was the first time that there is an actual storyline that was centered around the title.
Right.
Like, the champion had been in storylines, or, like, in feuds, you could say. But, mm-hmm. like, this was, the title was critical and crucial to this storyline that was going on. And we knew it wasn't going to last forever. It was, you know, what you said, 5-6 shows. So what's that, 4 months? Less than that?
It was, he wins the title June of 05.
And so two months.
He loses the title August of 05.
Yeah. So yeah, like a 2 month sprint there. Again, it was just like something different, especially considering that like we had the Samoa Joe reign that went for a year and a half. And Aries has like a pretty decent reign. And yeah, this was the first time the title was really used in like a storyline way like that. And it wasn't something super elongated. If I had to go bad place with like James Gibson winning the belt, he was just never, he was a excellent, fantastic wrestler. I'm going to put respect on Jamie Noble Bois' name. But as far as that Ring of Honor roster at that time,
take a shot.
James Gibson was like way towards the bottom of people I wanted to see win the title. Like,
right?
Why could, especially if he's even going to have it for a month? Could that not have been Jay Lethal? Could that not have been Christopher Daniels, who was also in that match? Couldn't you just already make Samoa Joe the first 2-time Ring of Honor champion?
Does James Gibson only have this title for a month?
He loses it. I do remember this. He loses it to Danielson the next month at Glory by Honor.
Okay, so he loses it the next month, but there's literally 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 3 ROH shows that take place between then and now.
Well, that was the least interested I had been in a Ring of Honor champion up to that point.
Yeah, because Gibson, because also, too, that's the returning Bryan Danielson. Because he had gone away after his feud with Homicide. Is that right?
Burn the New Hole. I think this. See, here's another thing. I was not super into Danielson's first run.
Right. So with, I
couldn't,
like,
tell
with,
you, couldn't tell with you
self-esteem.
What he was doing.
I feel like Bryan Danielson was feuding with Homicide and then like loses and goes away. Gosh, I'm trying to like catch up and look. But Danielson absolutely comes back. Where's the title change? Bryan Danielson beats James Gibson. He's feuding with Aries. Right. And he has the best of 5. He has the best of 5 series match with Homicide.
Okay.
Where like every match has a gimmick. Where they do like a tap out match. They do a taped fist. Falls count anywhere. Lumberjack. Cage match. And then Danielson wins. Danielson wins the best of 5. And challenges Austin Aries for the title. And because he doesn't beat Aries for the title, he walks away.
Okay.
And then he comes back 4 months later and beats James Gibson at Glory by Honor.
In his cage
era. And then we just get Bryan Danielson in Eternity. Because we get Danielson to Homicide to Morishima to Nigel. And then Nigel's got the God run.
Do you have it all the way till Geritol Lynn?
I think Geritol Lynn beats Nigel. Geritol loses it to A double. Then Aries loses the title to.
That's Tyler Black.
That's right. And then Tyler Black loses it to
Roddy Strong.
Roddy. Yep.
Like the matinee show, right?
Or yeah. No,
is that the Eddie Edwards one?
I don't know.
And Roddy loses it to Eddie Edwards because that's like my favorite switch. Because by that point, I was like super into Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, because Nigel or Roddy loses it to Eddie, Eddie to Davey, Davey to Steen.
Steen to Briscoe.
Uh-huh.
Our boy Vacant picks up the title.
No. Not necessarily. I mean, yes, but no. Because, like, Jay doesn't necessarily lose it, I don't think. But Adam Cole wins it.
Yeah, and then they do the like, champion versus champion or whatever. Right.
And in between then, big titty baby Michael Elgin's got the belt. And then Chris Daniels doesn't win the belt till 2017?
Yeah, it was real late.
My God. And then somewhere along the line, DJ's favorite wrestler, Matt Taven, wins the belt. It all gets convoluted. At some point, right when Davey Richards wins the ROH title, that's when I kind of fall out, right?
Yeah, I think it's both of us because, I mean, they're full-blown HDNet era.
Yeah, and, like, I love the Steen stuff, and I'm mad that, like, I missed the... I was super hyped when I heard Jay Briscoe won the title. But by that time, I was already out.
Yeah.
I was already out on Ring of Honor, and I felt like I just could not find my way back in.
Because they were doing a weird thing with, like, the pay-per-views that were on Super Ultra Mega Tape Delay.
Yeah.
And still getting, like, spoiled and... Yeah, like that was when like the demand for them to be on pay-per-view was there, but they, you know, either just couldn't find a way.
Yeah, I'm taking a look right now at, because all this conversation back and forth is really just making me want to buy Honor Club. Like that's what it's really boiling down to.
I wish I could just buy, like, well, it's all worth it, but, like, I would definitely only use it to, like, catch up to, like, maybe 2011.
Yeah, because, like, there's some stuff, man. I don't feel like they have all the matches either. Or are these only the videos that you can see? I gotta ask... I'll ask around and see what people have had Honor Club, but not to digress the point from CM Punk, but like, so Bad Place is obviously James Gibson winning the ROH title
for me. Yeah.
I don't know. So do you think it should have been, of the three people he was chasing or that was chasing him? Is it for you? Is it Punk or is it Joe Daniels, then Gibson? Or is Glory Hound Daniels, like, the guy?
For me, he's the guy because you're going to get to Danielson winning the belt, and there is always stuff between, like, Daniels and Danielson going back to the first show. And
for sure.
I thought it would have been cool for Danielson to be the guy to beat Daniels on what would have been a really short reign at that time.
Yeah, considering that, like, Christopher Daniels, too, had been the person who was, like, anti-Ring of Honor. You remember the prophecy, no handshaking, stuff like that. And then for Daniels to be the one to restore honor for the Ring of Honor title would have been so sweet. But that's not what we got. Good Place is the finale, too. The 2 out of 3 falls match with Cabana.
Yes.
It's such a good match. Especially like if you like everybody knows it's the last match. So it's like, hey man, we're not gonna do anything crazy. We're just gonna get out here, we're gonna wrestle.
They tell a story around the low blow.
Yes. They tell the story around the low blow. I believe this is where we see the Superman pin.
Oh, I think so. I think you're right. I'd have to go back and watch, but I can visualize it.
I can visualize the Superman pin. Because I know that Punk gets caught in, like, a wild pin at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like they're doing like super any fish out of water and Cabana just gets like a deep sunset.
I can't remember exactly. Ace Steel? Is he just at ringside? Because I know the backstage stuff too. And I remember too, like us. It's just like memories for us. But like after that show was over, like the next day or whatever, and like seeing the pictures get put up online of like CM Punk with his muscle milk and like chugging muscle milk and all the dudes like backstage with him. It was very much being allowed to like look behind the curtain that last show, the final chapter. It was like, okay, everything's, you know, wink, wink, everything's fake. It was just cool to be able to show appreciation for Punk and the ride that he took us on with the title and just that extra storyline and, everything that he'd done. It was really cool to be able to be in on that just as a fan. Probably one of those shows I wish you had asked me, I believe last week, or some point during our 20s question season, like what show do you wish you were at? And like, now that we're talking about it, I wish I was at that one.
Yeah. Like even though that was a bit out of our range for like driving at the time, cause that was in Chicago Ridge.
Yeah. That would have been out of question.
I mean, especially our age, but God, well, not my age, but your age.
Yeah.
Golly, because what? That was 05, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were just a wibbly baby. And I was dragging my brother, a little baby brother, around everywhere. But all in all, though, like the ROH Summer of Punk rocked.
It did.
Like it was so much of the, like it got the name Summer of Punk. And rode with it so much so that we're doing an entire season about it because it just seems that summertime is the time that Phil pops his head up. It's like Groundhog Day. Sun's out, guns out. CM Punk's doing his thing.
It's like the inverse of Shawn Michaels, who like magically happens to take a lot of summers off during his run. It's like CM Punk is like, oh, summer's here. Time to be in my bag.
That's right. It's too hot to watch. It's too hot to watch baseball outside. Hockey's not going on. I got stuff to do. Let's do it. But yeah, man. So I feel like it was really good to relive and like just walk through the Summer of Punk and Ring of Honor. Of course, like as always, I'd love to hear what you guys remember from the CM Punk times in Ring of Honor. I feel some of our listening audience may have a more intimate relationship with everything that took place during this time. I'm also curious, like when everyone falls out of love with Ring of Honor, because I feel like there's varying degrees. Like with WWE, it absolutely makes sense. Like people have their line of demarcation for when they fall out of love with WWE. And it's either when Austin leaves and then The Rock leaves, or it's like after Hogan left before. And then I'm trying to think of like, is there a time in the middle? Because I feel like if you stayed past Hogan leaving at King of the Ring 93.
Right, if you made it through the new gen, your next exit point's going to be like 03, 02, 03.
Right, when Punk, after WrestleMania, where Austin leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Rock leaves shortly thereafter. And then nobody comes back until the pipe bomb, right?
Pretty much.
Which is crazy to think. Which isn't everybody. There are some of us who stuck around the whole time.
And also just with like how generations work. There's a lot of people that didn't start watching wrestling that are very active on Twitter until the pipe bomb promo.
You also have to think too, the amount of time that has been between the pipe bomb promo and now.
It's over 12 years.
I don't think I can fault anybody for being a 12-year fan.
No.
And watching, like, if the first thing you saw was the pipe bomb and you watched wrestling up until from that point forward, like, that's not bad. That's the exact same amount of run as, what, Mick Foley, the bulk of Mick Foley's career?
Over, yeah.
Didn't Mick Foley famously say that if you take Ric Flair's best 10-year stretch and you take my best 10-year stretch, mine, you could say that my best 10-year stretch in a row is greater than Ric Flair's?
I don't remember if he said that or not.
Because I think he said like from 80 or from 90 to 99, because technically that's 10 years. If you take Mick Foley's 90 to 99 and put it up against any 10-year stretch of Flair, Foley hasn't beat. Which, hard to say, that's 10 years of wrestling for two people. I'm not signing up for that job at all. I don't want anything to do with that. But I, for some reason, I remember that being on the Foley shoot.
Okay.
Which reminds me, if we're talking CM Punk and Ring of Honor, we've got to talk about the Punk and Cabana shoot and the Cabana Joe shoot.
Or the Punk and Joe
shoot. Or the Punk Joe shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So I'm not as familiar with the Punk and Joe shoot, even though I believe you had it, right?
Yes.
For some reason, there's nothing that really sticks out to me about that. Or is that where Samoa Joe is telling the story about somebody like doing promos drunk?
Oh no, I think that might have just been the Samoa Joe straight up shoot.
Okay,
where he's talking about like Toramon TV.
Yeah.
And just like calling everybody the B word.
Yeah. All right. Like,
God,
so yeah.
You a B.
So yeah, I don't remember anything about that shoot. But the Punk and Cabana shoot, man, like there was a 4 or 5 year stretch. Anytime we hung out, we were putting on the Punk and Cabana shoot when we were settling in for the night. And putting one pizza in the oven. As soon as it comes out, you cut it up, put another pizza in the oven, crush the first pizza.
You crush the first pizza.
Second pizza is ready to come out.
And now here's what I'm saying. We ate the same thing. Mm-hmm. For so long, and you look like that, and I look like this. I hate science. Why couldn't I be a 6.5 foot tall black man? I eat the same stuff he did. We both drink juice out of a can.
We're very much like Diesel and Sean.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh man.
We order the same thing. We order the same thing.
Keep pace
like,
with each other.
I eat it and I just get fluffy. And Diesel's just like, all right, great.
I kept losing weight.
You were giving it to me, you jerk.
But yeah, and some of that Punk and Cabana shoot has been unearthed to a lot of those fans. Again, probably just started watching wrestling 12 years ago. And don't remember a lot of those shoot interviews. And the general climate and thoughts, which by no means do we endorse, but that was where minds were at the time. That was the climate. That was the general feeling, and it was not right then or now.
It's such a time capsule. it's like, it's not saying right or wrong, but it's saying that like our sensibilities were more relaxed then. That like the amount of offense that was taken wasn't as high, even though like the off color stuff was certainly there. And it's just, we've all kind of ratcheted up.
You can put it in a time capsule with like a Dane Cook stand up. Like, it's the same time period.
And Jackass and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mind of Mencia. Oh
my God.
That's kicked out of the time capsule. No one needs to remember
the
that.
The Man Show.
Man Show.
Like, it's just stuff we couldn't remember get away a single with
Man
anymore.
Show sketch.
I just remember the twins.
A lot of girls jumping on trampolines.
Here's two girls jumping on trampolines. Like, that's it. And so, I think we did a pretty good service to CM Punk
for the man, summer off of the Punk, especially being off the cuff. You know, again, we didn't want to do a ton of research. That's not really us. It's not our bag. I didn't want to do a ton of recapping, but yeah, we wanted to go through like our ROH journey up until the summer of Punk. And I had a blast doing it, man. And again, overall, for a summer of Punk,
good place.
Good place.
Yeah, man. So solid. Speaking of summer times, did you get by chance to see the title unveiling?
I did.
What do you think of the new Undisputed Universal Championship?
Much like all the belts in WWE, I thought it was uninspired and unoriginal. However, if this is Roman Reigns' title, let it be his title. I don't want to see it on anybody else. This is
okay.
This is the Roman belt.
I think eventually it'll go on to somebody else. But it's definitely going to be his for the first run. Much like, to me, the Winged Eagle is the Savage belt. The Big Eagle is the Austin belt. And then, of course, like the Scratch logo is the Rock belt. What do they call the first Undisputed title?
That's what it's called, the Undisputed title.
That's the Brock belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though Brock wasn't the first guy to hold it, that was Triple H, right? No. Triple H
consolidated it into one title.
Okay. Because then he loses it to Hogan. Hogan loses it to Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Taker to Rock. Rock to Brock. But it's Brock's title. And that's what this title is going to be. This is Roman's belt. I think it looks pretty solid. I like that it's gold faced but black belt.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the all gold belt they have for all the celebrities. They run that fine line of like just doing double titles, even though the other title doesn't really exist canonically with the WWE. But how do you feel now? Because especially with things with the way the bloodline had been for the last couple of weeks. Between Night of Champions and SmackDown. I'm seeing a lot of stuff, feeling a lot of feelings about, you know, maybe there are certain people who were disenfranchised with the whole Roman Reigns story and the whole Bloodline story. And this is the greatest story WWE's ever told. It's the greatest story of wrestling. Roman Reigns is the GOAT. I feel like the last couple of weeks of TV, they're sprinkling the old bloodline dust back on the story. Where do you sit right now with the bloodline?
I thought it was quick, but also this was the first opportunity to do the celebration of 1,000 days. And I do like that the latest domino to fall on the bloodline storyline happened on the celebration of Roman's 1,000 days as champion. I still feel like nothing has been done that can't be repaired. And that's not to say, like, I want to go backwards, but Jimmy never had the match where he gets beaten into place. Jay did. Yeah, two of them. But Jimmy hasn't. And if this means, I think, like, the time is perfect. If they do this match at Money in the Bank, where you have the other two Money in the Bank ladder matches to anchor the card,
mm-hmm.
perfect time to do a Jimmy versus Roman match.
Right.
And see where you go from there. Like, you could do a tag match between the Bloodline. You could build a, you know, Jay. What's Jay going to do? Singles. You could do solo versus Jimmy. A lot of stuff that you can continue to do. I feel like nothing has been done that can't be fixed. Again, it's not from like a bad booking perspective. That's just from like the Bloodline could fight. It's still infighting, and something could happen where they all get together again. How do you feel about it?
I feel the same way. Like, I think we're going to, it's all kind of like, they're going to separate, they're going to reunify, and then we're going to get to the Royal Rumble, right?
Mm.
And that's where things are going to get crazy. Because I can easily see the Bloodline getting into the Rumble. And, like, I'm not saying Solo wins it, but, like, what if Solo's in there and he's, like, the last guy? Or he's, like, one of the last guys? Because they're rocket-strapping Solo. Like, Solo's the dude. I'm half tempted to believe that Solo's the guy who dethrones Roman. Because just the way that they've positioned the story, Roman is Triple H, Solo Sikoa is Batista,
mm-hmm.
and the Usos are Randy Orton.
Yeah.
The Usos break out first, and they do their post-evolution stuff. But Batista stays with Evolution.
Yeah.
Until he has to choose. Does he stay loyal?
And he's learned all the tricks.
Right. Solo is so insulated. He's so, like, primed for this. It's a matter of time before we get a little more Solo.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting more and more Solo, which I like. I'm on the ride again. I'm back on the Bloodline ride. Especially with this upcoming summer tour, Roman's going to be around a while because he's going to be in Cardiff or he's going to be at Money in the Bank. He's going to be at SummerSlam.
Summer slammed out.
I want the title reign to make it to WrestleMania. I don't want any lollygagging. I don't want no hemming and hawing. You had another title on Raw.
Yeah.
You got another title on Raw. You want to do something cue with Money in the Bank? There you go. Go to Raw.
Do it over there. Yep.
Do it on Raw. I don't care if you're blowing up the draft. Don't care. The Roman storyline supersedes anything you're doing with a brand split or anything else.
Conditions are perfect for LA Knight.
Yeah.
To win Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Joe. He can't touch Roman. He can go beat up Seth. That's fine. I'll encourage that.
They should 100% do what they were going to do with Kennedy, but do it with LA Knight.
LA Knight. It's like, I'm like, cashing in at WrestleMania.
Roman, I'm going to face you at WrestleMania, get the crowd behind him, and then like the next Raw or whatever, he goes at, not the next Raw, I think you can milk that out for a little bit, but he catches like Seth Rollins or somebody, whoever's got the Raw belt, catches him sleeping.
Well, that's not what happened with Kennedy.
That's what was going to happen with Kennedy.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Kennedy was going to cash in a lot sooner than WrestleMania. Like, okay. He was going to cash in within the upcoming weeks, which was why they were so quick to get the Money in the Bank off of him, because they had they had the title change planned as far as I know. Let's go Yankees. Yankees win. Love that. Take the series from the Dodgers.
Is the World Series on or off?
World Series is on.
Okay. Today is June 4th, 2023. Let it be known the World Series is on.
Going to make it interesting, but yeah, World Series is on.
That's fair enough, man. That's fair enough. Do you have any purchases this week?
No weekly purchases for me. Oh, wait, this week I did. No, I didn't. You did send a link to, what shirt was it?
2800, the Papa Shango? Or no?
That was a couple weeks ago.
What was the shirt?
A bunch of ECW stuff, but that wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah, there was the ECW booty shorts that was on it. I'm looking to see. Trying to see where I sent it. Flopping through. What was the shirt? Oh, the Halloween Havoc 93 shirt.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. And like that's, I remember Halloween Havoc 92 because like Spin the Wheel Make the Deal and Jake Roberts, but like Halloween Havoc 93 is the first Halloween Havoc where like I completely remember the full year of WCW TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that was a big show for me. So yeah, I still might order that one. But yeah, no weekly purchase for me. I'm still hesitant on maybe getting the Doom shirt. There's a good bootleg Doom shirt out there. But that's it for me, man. Any weekly purchases for you, Mr. Tim?
Collapsible Segment Jones.
All right.
Nothing purchasing here. Other than I'm about to be buying a house soon. We're refinancing the mortgage here, so I'm going to officially be a homeowner, but I'm not going to go through all the pageantry of actually buying a house. Kind of sucks, right? Like, ugh, hate it, but I love it. It's fun. Do you have anything to plug?
Plugs for me, man. Trying to remember, what is this, June? I'll just plug the LVAC show coming up.
Yes.
June 16th, followed up by Enjoy Wrestling in Pittsburgh on June 17th. Back-to-back tag team matches. Mr. Pig might be in bunkhouse attire, which might interest some people. I believe Eric Lee is going to be in bunkhouse attire, which might interest a lot more people.
Definitely interests me more that you're in bunkhouse attire.
We'll have to poll our buddy Todd, see what he thinks.
That's not fair.
Yeah, that's the upcoming schedule for Mr.
One of them talk about Smokey and the Bandit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is a pig man.
But yeah, LVAC, pre-sale is sold out. There might be 20 tickets left at the door, but if you're counting on that, get there early because Bethlehem is a walk-up town, brother.
Yeah, it is. It's gonna be nice. I unfortunately did not snag tickets. You know, I'm on that kind of money freeze right now with all the house stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So extracurriculars be deed. I barely have chicken nugget money. I'm just holding on to everything, making all my ducats count where they count. But yeah, LVAC, enjoy. Good to see you making pounds. Brother. But after all that, we are proud to be on the Soon to Be Named Network. SoonToBeNamedNetwork.com, SoonToBeNamedNetwork.tumblr.com. It's your home for this and so many other podcasts, including but not limited to Final Wrestling Place with Tim and Marcus. Everybody else, you know, everybody else is doing. But buy the Ad Odds Patreon. Check out We Need Wrestling, Wings on Wings. Hiya, bussy. I can't wait to hear Ed's voicemails from Colossal Con.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be intense. Listen to the latest Fever. Did you listen to the latest Fever Dream episode of Hiya Bussy?
No. Hopefully tomorrow. I'm way behind. I'm behind on a lot of podcasts.
Well, are you going to put it before Joe showing up at Between the Sheets?
I don't know. Remains to be seen.
I don't know. You may have a vested interest in that that pod. Maybe. Allegedly. I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah. Man, I'm so glad that picture's making its rounds again.
Me too.
It's a good picture. It's a good picture. But we will be back here next week to talk about Summer of Phil 2, the WWE walk-up, leading up from his debut in ECW through two Money in the Bank contracts, and then eventually a night in Chicago to remember at Money in the Bank, where we may have gotten a kiss goodbye from good old Phil. And then we'll probably sprinkle in some of the farewell punk dust leading into episode 3.
And your personal recollections as well, yes, as being part of that summer punk.
I was at that summer of punk. We'll talk about that in grand detail. But right now, all that's left is to tell the people goodbye.
Bye, boys.